The following content is from Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a gospel-driven high-adventure camp in western North Carolina. Go to swoutfitters.com to learn more about our camps and conferences. Enjoy the message.
Hi, guys. I'm excited to be here. Issa, thanks for the intro. As she said, my name is Anna Rose, and I live in Andrews. I'm actually not on staff with Snowbird, but I've gotten the opportunity to speak a couple times, and it's always a joy. I always get a lot from the practice of studying and diving into a topic, so it's pretty mutually beneficial for me to get to be a part. So I'm excited. A little bit of background about me. I'm married to an amazing man named Graham. We have a crazy 15-month-old son, and we also have a new one on the way, which is pretty exciting. Yes, thank you. It's very exciting. Yeah. So I want to jump in, and you know, this weekend is all about purity. So I think the first thing, especially for note takers in the audience, I always like to kind of know where I'm headed. So just to review, we're hoping to answer three questions today in our breakout together, and we're going to pop up the main questions we're hoping to answer on the screen. So the first question, we want to define our terms. We want to answer what is purity. We throw this word around so much, but we want to make sure we understand exactly what we're talking about. The second thing, what do we do about our hearts? What do we do about our hearts? And then the third question is, how do we grow an appetite for goodness? If these questions seem confusing or vague, hopefully we'll have a little more clarity as we continue. Before we really get into our content, I have felt burdened for a group of people that are inevitably in our audience today. And so I want to talk to some really specific people before we start. I think purity is such a sensitive topic, and I think it's dangerous to assume that we are all approaching this topic with the same experiences, right? And the same, cards that we're bringing to the table. The reality is we live in a world that is sabotaging our purity. And it's very possible that you have been sitting in your chair this weekend, maybe letting this conversation happen around you, because you know that you are not pure. Maybe you are currently in the throes of sexual addiction. Maybe you are currently sleeping with your boyfriend. Maybe you are a victim of sexual abuse, and that's very, very real. I want to speak to you. I want to encourage you, and I want you to know that you are exactly where you're supposed to be this weekend. You are not on the outside of this conversation. I want to bring you in. Because no matter what you are coming to this conversation with, each of us is in desperate need of the purifying power of Jesus. It is my prayer that we would all see that through this talk and through this whole weekend. So I just wanted to start by saying that. I know that can feel heavy, but I'm going to open us up in prayer now that we have all that laid on the table. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time together. I pray, Lord, that you would take away barriers to hearing your truth. I pray that you would make us open and humble. And I pray, God, that you would use my words and really... just help me to know what to leave out and what to include so that we can really hear what you want us to hear. Amen. All right. So let's start with that first question. What is purity? What are we talking about? We throw around this word so much, and I think a lot of times we tend to define purity by the things that we don't do, right? The first thing that comes to mind is probably not having sex. Not looking at porn, right? We check those boxes But I think if we only define purity by things that we're not doing with our bodies, we're kind of selling ourselves short a little bit of a lot of the joy that we can experience in pursuing holistic, whole person purity. Those things are super important. Don't get me wrong. I hope that that's hit on through this weekend at some point. You know, we need to be having conversations in the church in safe spaces about sexual purity, and that is super important. But I'm hoping that through this talk, we can kind of broaden our definition a little bit and maybe change the way we've looked at it before. So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Philippians 4:8. If you have your Bible, I'm also going to put it up on the screen here. And if you have been in church before, if you've been exposed to God's word, I think sometimes there's a little bit of a tendency to let it go in one ear and out the other, and to not actually be impacted by the power of God's word. And so I just want to encourage us, you've probably read this verse before, but as we read it, I encourage you to try and approach it with a new heart and with new ears, and allow God's word to wash over us. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Each of these words that Paul uses is very specifically selected and incredibly powerful. As I was studying, in preparation for this talk, I tried to think about each of those words isolated, and I came up with as many synonyms as I possibly could. We're actually going to put that up on the screen here. And I won't read through all of them extensively, but I want to give you a second to read through these words and think about the kind of picture that they paint. Think about a person that exemplifies these types of qualities. You may even be able to add some words to the list. It paints such a higher standard than the person who is simply holding themselves back from doing certain things. When I think about these words, a couple people come to mind in my life, and they are people who almost oozed a level of goodness. They were just beautiful to be around. They had a desire and a hunger for things that were good that I found inspiring. And when I was around them, it was almost like I wanted to be more like them. I wanted to be better. I wanted to have similar desires. I hope you know at least a couple people in your life that you could describe that way, but they are rare. I also think it's so important that we notice that Paul in this verse is telling us to do things. He's not just telling us not to do things. He has things in the affirmative, in the positive, and he actually gives us an action word. And the action word is pretty profound and pretty astounding. He is telling us to think. He's telling us to think about such things. He's not telling us an action that we do with our bodies. He's giving us an action that starts in our mind. And I would argue that our fight, our journey for purity, for this type of whole person pursuit of goodness and nobility, starts in our mind. So my husband is working these days as a conservationist, which means that he works to preserve farmlands and parks and water resources. And recently, we have been talking around our dinner table about water resources. I know, it's a party. You can come to our house for dinner and you'll love it. So we've been talking about the fact that when someone is looking at a water resource that people are going to drink from, what they do is they trace the stream, they trace the source, and they look for the sources of where this stream is coming from and the purity and quality of those springs, of those sources. So I have a couple pictures that I'm going to put up on the on the screen. My first one, okay? I want you to raise your hand if you would drink this water. Raise your hand. Yeah, we've probably drunk this water before, right? These are pretty reputable sources for drinking water. You even see words in the advertisements like untouched, 100% pure spring water. Okay, I want you to raise your hand if you would drink this water. Hopefully you can see it. Would anyone drink this water? Wow, I thought we'd have a few people. Okay, maybe if you were like really thirsty. It's water running through a park. It's a beautiful park. Doesn't look dirty. But something, you know, we're probably not going to immediately go over, start lapping from the stream. It's public. You don't know what people are putting into it, right? Has a little bit too much access. Okay, next one. Would you drink from this one? Absolutely not. No, I am not going to that stream filling up my Nalgene for a nice long chug. No, unprotected. It's flowing through a city. It has way too much input. I have no idea what people have dumped into that stream. I'm not filtering. I'm not being careful about what I'm putting into my body. So I think it's really interesting that for the most part, all of us are on the same page, that there are specific things we can and can't put into our bodies without having some pretty serious consequences, right? I'm not going to see a lot of people headed to these streams. But for some reason, we have a bit of a hard time taking what we put into our minds quite as seriously. And I would argue that what you put into your mind is just as serious and can have just as terrible consequences. So, you know, at this point, I want to share with you a quote that has been super impactful for me. I actually originally heard my pastor at Three Rivers share this quote, and I'll put that up on the screen as well. It says, "Be careful of your words. They become your actions. Be careful of your actions. They become your character." So if you've been tracking with me this whole time, you know, hopefully we're kind of all getting on the same page here. You might say, okay, I get it. What we put into our thoughts are important. Our thoughts are vital to this process of pursuing purity. And Paul, you know, is painting this very high standard of what we should do to pursue purity and what that looks like holistically in a person's life. But how in the world do we measure up to that impossible standard, right? Especially in today's day and age. And this really takes me to the second question, which is, what do we do? What do we do with our hearts? How do we actually go about tackling this if we wanted to? So I'm so glad you asked. That really leads me to the biggest part of this conversation. The only way that we can truly begin to start this journey, and it is a journey of pursuing whole person purity, right, is to actually believe that Jesus offers us a better joy. It's to have a regenerate heart that is a gift given to you by Jesus that allows you to start to have desires for goodness and wholeness. So when I was 15, I became a believer. Probably have some 15-year-olds in here. And I was raised in a Christian home, really great family. And I knew a lot about the Lord. And I knew a lot about his rules. And I was not, I wouldn't say I was particularly rebellious, but there was a huge shift in my life when I started to follow Jesus because I wanted to and not because I was obligated. And I remember really distinctly when I became a believer, I had this like epiphany and I started to become very suspicious that maybe God's direction for my life and the framework that he was laying out for me through scripture might actually be better for me. And I was like, that is very interesting. I've never thought about that before. And it's funny to think about now. You know, I've been walking with Jesus for a while, for several years, and it's funny. But that is a very real experience that you connect not just with having to do things or having these laws laid on you as a burden, but realizing that they are for your joy. That as you pursue goodness and as you have an appetite for these things, they allow you to be a fuller, more purpose-driven, more secure, more peaceful person. They give you more space in your life to enjoy relationship with Jesus, who's a real person, who can relate to you and walk with you. And that is a delicious like thing to discover. And I pray that if you are a believer and you've never discovered that for yourself and you're like, man, I feel kind of gypped. I've been walking with the Lord and I haven't tasted that goodness. Or maybe you've never been walking with Jesus and there is something in you that's stirred by the thought of something that's so tangible. I pray that you would experience it this weekend and you would experience it today. And my groundbreaking instruction for you is that if something is stirring in your heart as you hear about this and you want to have a heart that is changed and that has a longing for whole person purity, is that you would leave here and find a moment to be alone and that you would ask God to begin to change your desires and change your heart and regenerate you. So, we understand that to truly start on this journey of pursuing holistic, whole person purity, it takes a radical change in our heart. But what else can we do to really grow an appetite for goodness, right? What else can we do? Well, it starts by cutting out things that are in the fabric of our life, ripping out things that are threats to our purity. And this is going to look different for different people. You might have to take stock of your life to really start to consider what are things that are threatening my admirability? What are things that are threatening my desire and my appetite for goodness? Maybe it's toxic friendships, unhealthy romantic relationships, social media, could be a lot of different things. But I do want to take a second to hit on that last one, social media, because I think it is so specific to your generation, to my generation. We're not too far removed here. And it's a threat to your purity that that's really new in a lot of ways. And generations before you have not had to face it in the same way that you have. So I want to take us back for a second to that picture of that glutted stream, right? The third stream that just had all of that trash. When you tap in to social media, it is a stream that the entire world has access to. The entire world can post anything and everything they want. Cat videos, really sad news stories, kind of pornographic images, funny celebrity videos, anything, right? I'm not saying everything on social media is bad, but you are opening up your mind and you are allowing the entire world to have input. I think it's a little bit ominous that it's literally called a feed. Doesn't that kind of stir you? You're opening up your social media, and as your thumb scrolls through 10,000 images in 10 minutes, how are you going to filter what you see? How are you going to be careful of what you're feeding your thoughts and your mind? I think that should really cause us pause. And I also want to touch briefly on a topic that might be a little sensitive, pornography, okay? Even if you're not like looking at hardcore pornography online, pornography is so tricky because what it does to the brain is very sneaky. For people who are addicted to pornography, they have literally trained their brain to be stimulated by images. And the saddest part of that is that when you train your brain to operate a certain way for long enough, you lose the ability to connect with a real person and to experience real intimacy. And it's a way that Satan uses something that seems small and isolated and secret, right? This isn't going to impact anyone. But the tragedy is it ruins the intimacy of healthy, loving marriages because someone who's addicted to pornography can't connect with a real person. They can't experience sexual intimacy with a real person and have the same sort of joy and enjoyment because they have taken their mind and associated it with only images, only things that will serve them. And I would argue that social media acts like a pornified poison to your life because you are training your brain constantly to respond to a one-by-one Instagram frame with a filter on it. You're constantly looking at highlight reels and things that do not accurately portray reality. And you might be so accustomed to seeing the world through this hyper-curated, tiny window that when you begin to have real experiences of beauty and friendship with real people and you see God's creation, you could find yourself standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon feeling disappointed because it looks better in the pictures with a filter on it, which is devastating. It might be easier for you to pull out your phone and engage that way than having a real conversation with a real person. The pornified image is not the truth because the truth is much more multifaceted and explorable and complex, and it takes your involvement. This does not take anything. It just serves your purposes. So, we do have to cut things out of our life, right? There are certain things that we need to have the wisdom and discernment to say, this is a lesser thing. It does not cause me to rise to admirability and honor and nobility, okay? But we've already said that seeking purity is not just about not doing things, okay? If social media or these toxic threats to our purity are like junk food and you want to start cultivating that appetite for goodness, you have to stop eating the junk food, right? Definitely stop the McDonald's, but you don't just become healthy by not eating junk food. If you starve yourself from the junk food, you'll be emaciated, you'll be unhealthy, super skinny. You have to put good things. You have to replace it with good things in your life. So yes, take away the things that are threats to your purity to create space, to create an appetite so you can hear the still small voice of Jesus speaking to you. You know, you might ask, well, what are these good things? That's a great question. And that is your joy to discover because yes, Bible reading, church attendance, church community, all of those are great things, but God has hidden his goodness in a million things that you get to discover. And sometimes we kind of over-spiritualize that a little bit. We're like, church, Bible, that's it. Those are good things. I will never watch Netflix. I will only read my Bible. Which if you feel convicted, absolutely do that. But there's a million things that God does to stir an affection and a love for him. You know, trade sitting on the couch for going outside and running and praising the Lord that you have a body that moves. Or trade complaining for gratitude and a servant's heart. Or, I mean, trade gossip for silence. Trade laziness for perseverance. And maybe the trades don't have to be quite so drastic. You can trade a bad Netflix show for a better one. One that's more inspiring and more uplifting. So if we continue with this junk food analogy, if there's some young Christians in here, I want to encourage you. Because when I had first become a believer, I was on fire. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to like pursue all like holiness with my whole heart. I'm going to read my Bible and pray all the time. And I love that. I think that's so beautiful. But I want to encourage you that as you start on this journey and you make decisions to create space to hear the voice of God, to hear his conviction. If you stop eating junk food, stop McDonald's after years, and you put a broccoli florette in your mouth, it's not going to instantly taste amazing to you, okay? It takes time to change our appetite, okay? So if you sit down with your Bible and start this pursuit for the first time and your soul doesn't sing and a rainbow doesn't appear over your house, don't give up, okay? These pursuits are lifelong. And I don't say that to discourage you. I say it to encourage you, young Christian, do not give up. Do not give up. He is good and he will show you and reveal himself, but it might take a second for you to start to purge yourself a little bit. I want to close with a challenge to you. And I think it's important that we pay attention to the fact that this isn't something that you can add on to your life to make yourself a better person. The call to live a life of holistic purity is not an easy one. I'm not giving you this thinking, they'll get this in a week. I'm still learning this and was so personally convicted as I started to work through this talk. The challenges that you guys are facing today, with so many things competing for your thoughts and your attention and your devotion, the obstacles are huge. And I know we've talked so much about the sweetness of God and the sweetness of Jesus, and that is so important that we understand that the trades we make are for better things. But as we make these trades, there will be discipline involved, there will be sacrifice involved, and it's important that we recognize that. It will be hard to give up things that the world calls better, more important, or even normal. But you must remember always, always, always that behind these choices, behind these disciplines, in pursuit of purity, it is for your joy. It is for your joy. And I want to close with a quote that is from Jackie Hill Perry. I'm sorry, Jackie, I did not accredit you. Deciding to walk in purity is a discipline, but discipline only continues by the heart taking joy in what you have chosen. I'm going to read that one more time. Deciding to walk in purity is a discipline, but discipline only continues by the heart taking joy in what you have chosen.
Thanks for listening. We hope this has encouraged you in your walk with Christ. Be sure to give us a rating and review. And for more Snowbird content, check out our other podcast, No Sanity Required.